KBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Supreme Court justices agreeing to hear TikTok's case as it works to stop a ban in the U.S. Here's ABC's Stephen Portnoy.
TikTok had asked the Supreme Court to delay or block the impending sale deadline. For now, the justices say they're deferring that decision until after the oral argument on Friday, January 10th. The argument will focus on whether a TikTok ban would violate the First Amendment. A three-judge panel of the D.C. Circuit Appeals Court ruled it would not. President-elect Trump has said he has a soft spot for TikTok, but the Biden administration and a bipartisan majority in Congress say the popular app risks national security in the hands of a China-based owner.
NASA says a SpaceX flight scheduled to bring two Boeing astronauts back from the International Space Station has been pushed back until March. Astronauts Sonny Williams and Butch Wilmore traveled to the space station back in June on the troubled Boeing Starliner. Red flag alerts in effect for California. Santa Ana winds whipping up once again and storms moving in on the East Coast. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, wgbw.fm. For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Madison police say they've moved on to the investigation phase into Monday's school shooting. Savannah Tomei Olson continues to cover the story for us.
In a press conference, they also offered a big correction, saying it was a second grade teacher who called 911, not a second grade student. Police Chief Sean Barnes.
Yesterday, after looking at the computer-aided dispatch system, it seems as if a call came from a second grader. It actually read, the call came from a second grade teacher. That was a mistake. That's my responsibility, and I apologize, and I clarify that today.
Meanwhile, rumors are running rampant on social media, and the big question is why? That's what authorities are working on right now.
Identifying a motive is our top priority, but at this time, it appears that the motive was a combination of factors. Again, we cannot share that information at this time because we do not want to jeopardize the investigation and those who are currently cooperating with us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
A Madison nonprofit is raising money to support the Christian school at the center of Monday's tragic shooting. The United Way of Dane County is spearheading the fundraiser for the Abundant Life Christian School community. It launched Tuesday morning. The CEO of the Dane County United Way says it's our responsibility as a community to help Madison recover, and every dollar counts. The school's principal says they're overwhelmed by the support and that they'll create a transparent process to distribute the money once they figure out where it will be most helpful. 100% of the money raised will go to the school. We have a link to the fundraiser at civicmedia.us. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News.
The Bucks win the NBA Cup. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks, with a strong second half, beat the Oklahoma City Thunder by 16 points. The final 97-81. Bucks owner Wes Edens was there in Las Vegas with the team to accept the NBA Cup trophy.
It is so sweet. It's so great to be here. You know, last year it all happened kind of fast. We were very happy to be here. This year when they came in, they were here to do the business, finish the job, and they did it tonight.
Giannis, blocking shots, passing the ball, finished with 26 points and named the tournament's MVP. VP.
We came out in the third quarter, we set the tone, we played great team basketball, we were moving the ball, guys were making shots, but most importantly, we were competing defensively. That's who we are. We are going to improve, and we're going to stay like team because job is not done.
College football, Phil Longo, the offensive coordinator fired by the Badgers last month, has a new job, head coach at Sam Houston University in Huntsville, Texas. Receivers Will Pauling and C.J. Williams leaving Wisconsin, entering the transfer portal. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy and breezy, with temperatures slowly sliding from the mid-20s to the teens tonight. With snow arriving early tomorrow morning, it could be heavy at times, and visibility will be reduced and roads will be slippery, as snow accumulations look to be anywhere from 4 to 8 inches. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 28 degrees.
Welcome to Staples.
Help! My family's in for the holidays and I need gift ideas.
That's why we're here. Staples has amazing deals on everything you need. Photo gifts, laptops, and gaming systems. Even custom holiday cards and shipping solutions to send gifts to the family that can't make it.
Perfect! Have anything for Uncle Frank? I love him, but the guy is never quiet.
Noise-canceling headphones. For you.
You get it.
Unwrap huge holiday savings at Staples. And right now at Staples, save up to $350 on select computers. Ends 12/28, in-store only.
Do you know or work with kids who have special healthcare needs? Help them live their best lives. Contact Wisconsin Wayfinder Children's Resource Network. Our specialists will connect you with services in your area. Wisconsin Wayfinder is free and confidential. Call 877-947-2929 or visit dhs.wi.gov/wiscway. Connect today. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Maggie Dawn.
Is there a Christmas song that makes you cringe every time you hear it? The Chipmunks, maybe? What about that Mariah Carey tune? We review the weirdest and most annoying holiday tunes of all time. Next.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 12 noon on this Wednesday, December 18th, 2024. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite, and it is
Hump Day.
There you go. The old camel on a Wednesday.
Also known as Saddle Up Day.
Yes. Yes. For those wanting equal rights for camels, Saddle Up Day as well. Busy day. In hour number two, our friend and ongoing contributor, Mr. Trygve Olsen, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, is here in town, and he will be joining us in hour two instead of hour one on a Wednesday. We have our grown-up, adults-only specialty gift shop. No, what's it called? The grown-up gift list, text-to-own a win contest coming up in hour number two. Somebody next hour is going to win a $100 bill. $100 up for grabs, and you'll be entered in for the 8 great grand prizes as well. So be listening to that in hour number two. Right now, though, a couple of quick headlines for you. I know Jane Matt Nair last hour, as this broke across the wires out in Washington, D.C., former Congressman Matt Gaetz, the sultry details, the sundry, whatever details be unknown, apparently, as the House in a closed-door session has voted to release the Matt Gaetz report, but not until after this session is done, as it turns out. So we'll have more details on that. And are you a TikToker? If you're a TikToker, the fate of your TikToking is going to be decided by the always media savvy Samuel Alito and Clarence Thomas. Yes, the Supreme Court has agreed to hear the case of TikTok, the TikTok ban. So we'll talk a little bit about that later as well. We're going to talk about some great reporting by our independent station here in Madison, WORT, on the University of Wisconsin system, spending over $50 million on consultants. Jeez, how many two-year universities could we have had stay open for $50 million? We'll talk a little bit about that. And also Tommy Thompson making some news yesterday. His thoughts on, you know, let's just move on with this whole fake elector stuff. But right now, more importantly, we bring on our friend, our colleague, the host of Up North News Radio every morning from 6 until 8 up in beautiful Lake Wissota, Mr. Pat Kreitlow. Patrick, how are you?
Wonderful. Wonderful. How are things down there in that big, beautiful state capital city?
Well, we're doing okay. A little snow. I know you've already had snow up there, right, Lake Wissota?
Yeah, but it's come and gone. It's very brown here, but that will change in That will change big time 24 hours from now.
Yes. Yeah, we got a little dusting overnight, just a little bit more than you can track a cat here in Madison. But yes, winter storm warnings, particularly for our listeners in the Green Bay area on WGBW and WISS and Oshkosh, Fox Valley up through Door County, and not quite DeShoto, but almost last I saw winter storm warnings there. So yes, so much of our state's going to get several inches of snow in the next 24 to 36 hours. So, you know, I mean, by February, this will seem old hat, but this is probably the first at least significant snowfall for lots of parts of the state, Pat. And you know,
and as we learned when we first had what was that, our first like 2-inch snowfall or whatever it was, for a place that has a lot of people that can drive in the winter, it's a little tricky that first time,
right?
Little overestimating of your abilities or the slickiness of the pavement. So be careful out there. You're on the side of caution, folks.
Just go slow and start braking early.
Tap lightly, leave lots of room.
Better to slowly roll to the stop sign than crash into the intersection.
Right. That's exactly right.
We got this.
We absolutely have this. I want to give you some breaking news here, or at least updated news, courtesy of CBS News at this hour. And it results to pertains to our ongoing coverage here at Civic Media of the tragedy that happened on Monday of the Abundant Life Christian School shooting here in Madison, which left three people dead, including the gunman. This is the latest here from CBS News breaking at this hour. The parents of 15-year-old Natalie Rapnow, who police say killed two people and herself at a Wisconsin school on Monday, had divorced and remarried twice in recent years, while Natalie had been enrolled in therapy, court records show. Repnow's parents, Jeff and Melissa Rapnow, are cooperating with investigators, police say. Natalie was their only child together. Neither parent has responded to CBS News' request for comment. Court records show that the couple married in 2011, 2 years after Natalie was born, divorced in 2014. They shared custody with Natalie, with her primarily living with her mother and alternate weekends between both parents. The couple remarried in 2017, but then again filed for divorce in 2020. They agreed to a shared custody agreement with Natalie, alternating between their homes every 2 to 3 days. Court documents from July of 2022 show Natalie was enrolled in therapy and living primarily with her father. She spent one weekend a month with her mother, and the couple was working towards, quote, equal placement, unquote. They agreed to, quote, consider Natalie's therapist's recommendations regarding placement, unquote. And Melissa said she was that she planned to connect with Natalie's therapist and participate in therapy to extend recommendations by the therapist. Melissa and Jeff Rapnow's reported a generally positive co-parenting relationship and said they would continue to communicate by text and phone calls. Jeff Rapnow frequently posted about his daughter on Facebook, including in August when the two were seen at a shooting range together. According to a Facebook profile, this is via CBS News, we're not just taking this off of Facebook, Rapnow was an active member of a Lutheran church here in Madison where he attended services with his daughter, according to CBS News Radio. Pat, a lot of reading there, and I apologize for that, but I wanted to bring this to our listeners because I think it is important, as lots of folks try to make, there is no way to make sense of this, but try to at least understand this. It seems to be, and again, this investigation's ongoing, it seems to be, like so many young people, a less than ideal home life and very complicated. And, well, I'll let you talk.
Well, I mean, some folks won't like where I'm going from here. A lot of what we've talked about can be found in homes, not just in the United States, but around the world. There are broken homes. There are broken families. There is divorce. There's therapy. Therapy in and of itself is usually a positive thing, going to get some help for something. So I would guard against anybody reading too much into this. This is probably more than we need to know, but after an episode as terrible as this, people want as much context as possible. But now it's also extremely possible to read too much into any one part of that. But here's the part where I'm going. Everywhere around the world, you have broken marriages and broken homes. In no other place on earth do you have access to firearms the way that troubled young people do. And troubled young people, mostly boys and men, yes, but girls and women too, when they have easier access, it it can lead to tragic outcomes. Doesn't matter if it's suicide amongst our veterans or amongst our young people or domestic violence. I mean, we have people that want to focus so much on, you know, the couple of undocumented immigrants that commit some kind of a violent crime, and never mind all the millions of others who are here, you know, working really hard, when really what we should be working toward writ large is a society that takes better care of its guns. I'm not saying ban the guns. I'm not saying ban hunt. No, nothing like that. But we need a culture that is better about storing, locking away, and teaching respect for the deadliness of these weapons, especially when you have a troubled domestic situation. It's the whole purpose that people promote red flag laws, is that if it appears a situation has gotten to the point that could be dire or threatening, you ask a judge to hear the case and perhaps rule that the guns should not be around that person for a little while. So, long story short, this happens only in this country. There are ways to prevent it from happening in this country. And as we talk through and get over this tragedy, knowing there will be more, maybe we can have our elected officials in the meantime take some of these basic safeguards seriously, finally.
Yeah, well said. Zomeris, we have time to play the clip from Mark Pulcahyne from yesterday on the House floor. This was United States Congressman Mark Pulcahyne, who represents Madison, yesterday on the House floor.
Yesterday, my community of Madison, Wisconsin, was devastated by a senseless shooting at the Abundant Life Christian School that tragically claimed the lives of one student and one teacher, the shooter, and left six others injured, with two students still in critical condition. These were innocent lives, innocent victims of senseless violence, and we mourn their loss with their families and loved ones and the entire Abundant Life community. We also give our sincere thanks for the bravery and quick response of our law enforcement, first responders, and local healthcare workers who have worked tirelessly to respond to this tragic event and save the lives of those injured. The Abundant Life community, the students, the staff, the parents, are all victims of this traumatic experience, and what happened this week will live on in our memories. I urge all of my colleagues to think about what we can do to prevent us from having to stand here again for yet another moment of silence. We must do better, and we must turn these moments of silence into moments of action. I ask all members in this chamber, as well as all members and staff in the Capitol, to rise for a moment of silence in remembrance of the recent shooting at the Abundant Life Christian School in Madison, Wisconsin.
And at that point, after Congressman Mark Pulcahyne made those remarks, with about 30 to 45 minutes of silence, and then he yielded back his time.
Or seconds, not minutes, but yes.
I'm sorry, yes, seconds, not minutes. Thank you very much, Somers. It should be noted that this was a bipartisan effort. Democrats, Gwendolyn Moore, Congresswoman Gwendolyn Moore, and Republicans, Glenn Grothman, Derek Van Orten, Tony Weed, and Brian Stile also stood with Mark Pulcahyne on the House floor while he read that. Pat, happens far too often, and again, to your point, we need action on this, and it's just unfortunate. It is an understatement, but I don't know why it takes something like this to have all those people I just mentioned, when they snipe at each other on Twitter and everywhere else and all the words, why does it take something like this for them to stand together shoulder to shoulder instead of, you know, why can't they get in a room and say, we want to actually do something about this?
And when you talk to lawmakers at the federal and state level on an individual basis, you can see how much some of them would want to, just like you can get some Democrats to agree on certain Republican talking points. But once you get the party politics going and the big money donors and everything else, you see why this is just so damn hard.
Why is it so damn hard to just talk about the truth a little bit? We'll ask Pat that. And play a cup from Tommy Thompson, who just, you know, wants to turn the page. Back with more after this. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allball Show for a Wednesday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Thanks to Total Wine, you saved more on all the gifts for the ones you adore. Wine, spirits, beers all nestled on shelves. Got some advice from our helpful elves. Oh, so, so many gifts to explore when you go, go to Total Wine and more. Bottle so delightful, whoa, whoa, whoa. Price so amazingly low, low, low.
Curbside pickup and delivery available and the lowest prices for over 30 years only at Total Wine and More.
Drink responsibly, B21.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In official meeting rooms around the country, 538 electors for the 2024 presidential election met December 17th to cast their vote on behalf of their state's results. 13 of those Electoral College electors are accused 2020 fake electors, some of whom still face prosecution. Trump campaign associates coordinated a plot in 7 battleground states to submit a fraudulent slate of Republican electors. The plot failed when Vice President Mike Pence refused to participate and certified the results. The alleged fake electors in Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Nevada, New Mexico, Georgia, and Arizona were investigated by state officials, the January 6th committee, and the special counsel. Fake electors in Michigan, Georgia, and Arizona still face trial. Nevada prosecutors just refiled charges December 12th. No charges were brought in New Mexico, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. 13 of those electors were renominated by their state Republican parties as electors in 2024. 6 of the 15 awaiting trial for forgery in Michigan were renominated. 6 Nevada electors were reindicted last week on forgery charges, 2 of whom were renominated. Still unclear is whether Trump will include the fake electors in his promised pardons for those accused and convicted for the January 6th insurrection. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
From Hobart to Bay Settlement, 97.9 WGBW.
The snow is coming. Put on your flannel and a hot cup of cocoa and dial up every morning, 6 until 8, Pat Kreitlow, who comes to you on Lake Wissota tomorrow, coming to you from an ice shanty. Wouldn't that be great to be doing a show in an ice shanty?
I think we have different definitions of great.
Yes, yes. The answer to that is no. No. For people who enjoy ice fishing, God bless you. Catch a bunch. Invite me over. I'd love a good shore lunch in right. the wintertime version, indoors. I did mention the other day that, when the ice is just right in the late winter, sufficiently thick here in the neighborhood, we do have a nice party. We go, about 100 yards out onto the lake, and we'll walk there by and large, and have a wonderful little gathering. There's a couple of, grills going and some bean bags. The bean bags are a little harder in the wintertime. I don't know if you know this. Yeah.
Like and, bricks.
Just a good chance to, be out on the water, the frozen version.
Yeah, and I will say about doing a radio show from an ice shack, I think that the only thing you can do in an ice shack is ice fishing, because your face will start freezing up. No matter how many layers you're in, your lips will eventually freeze up and stop moving nicely, and you're not going to be able to talk.
It does get in the way of good radio, yes.
Let's talk a little bit about this guy. I saw this last night on Twitter from Heartland Signal. I want to give them a credit from putting this clip out there, although there were a lot of press. So the electors, the Electoral College met in Wisconsin this week, and Tommy George Thompson, former 4-time Republican governor of Wisconsin, his first time ever being an elector. And so he voted, and of course, as should have been, Donald Trump won Wisconsin, and so he cast his vote for Trump. Afterwards, a reporter brought up these new charges brought by Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call against some of the people, the Trump supporters from 2020 that tried to subvert with fake electors and steal the election. And a reporter asked former Governor Thompson about this. Here's what he said.
Governor, I'm curious your thoughts 4 years later on these Justice Department charges, this ongoing case still targeting the 2020 meeting of the Republican electors. What are your thoughts on those charges from the Justice Department?
Isn't it about time to turn the page? I mean, We can fight over the election of 2020 for the next 4 years. What does it get us? Isn't it about time to say, you know, we've had a lot of differences. Isn't it time to start trying to mend ways and solving America's problems, Wisconsin's problems? We got huge problems in this country. Instead of fighting again and in the courts over something that took place 4 years ago, we've had a new election. Let's get on with it. Let's build Wisconsin. Let's build America. That's my answer.
But Governor, did Donald Trump get over it in 2020 after he lost to Joe
Biden? No.
So then why should Democrats act when Republicans did 4 years ago?
I am just saying, you asked what we should do, and I'm saying let's get over it. Let's start building instead of tearing down. I'm a builder, you know that. And let's build Wisconsin. Let's build America. You know, we can fight over the courts for the next 10 years. And what did we accomplish? Nothing.
Well, I don't know, yeah, Tommy. Really? I don't know. Really? I mean, an insurrection and trying to steal the election, I'm not sure that's something we should get over. Pat Kreitlow?
No, don't think so. You know, when he says, this is the time to start trying to mend ways and solving America's problems, Wisconsin's problems. You know when that time was? 4 years ago.
Yeah.
When Joe Biden was trying to solve America's problems and Wisconsin's problems and was dogged by these lies for 4 years. And not now we want to turn the page. As the electors met there in the state capitol, my question is, in what room in the capitol yesterday were the fake electors meeting in? Oh, here's the answer. There weren't any. Because again, the one side played by the rules. Right. And just one last thing about this, and again, this is nothing personal toward the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporter that wrote the story about it. I just take issue with the wording in which she talks about the fake electors and how it, quote, set the stage for a national debate over election denialism. What?
What?
A national it set the stage for a national debate? No, it was a crime. It was a crime, and no, we should not be thinking about, oh, you know, it was a crime, but now the other side won, so now it's okay that it's not a crime, and we're just going to turn the page. No. And so, yes, the State Department of Justice filed charges because they're the right thing to do, and take this thing forward, and don't let anybody who tried to steal an American election and then lie about it by accusing the other side of stealing have one peaceful night's sleep. Until justice is done.
I agree with everything you said. Tony, watching on YouTube, says, my answer is I would like to ignore your question. Now I'd like to give you platitudes until you go away.
Exactly. Yes. Nailed it.
I mean, as someone who grew up, I'll use the word as a kid in college, idolizing Tommy Thompson. I worked on every one of his elections. And I believe during his time of governor, he did some really remarkable things and brought in a bipartisan people. And I just wish that he would have left it at that. And I think he would have been remembered as one of the most effectual and greatest governors in Wisconsin history. And it saddens me personally to see this man who certainly was flawed, but did a lot in the twilight of his career, just, pardon the expression, piss it all away to genuflect to Donald Trump, simply because he craves being relevant and trying to make a couple of bucks on K Street in Trump 2.0. I think it's sad, and I think it's just, it's unfortunate.
The point is taken, though. I would note you could really trace the arc of Tommy Thompson as a three-act play. And in Act 1, prior to him being governor, because I covered him as a young reporter in the legislature, I covered his first race for governor in 1986. You know, he was known as Dr. No.
Right.
He would not get along with Democrats. He was tough as nails. He was partisan to a fault. Mm-hmm. And then he kind of matured as he got into that third and fourth term. He built things like Highway 29 across the state, mm-hmm. and had this real legacy in the making. But now in the third act, he's kind of returned to his much more partisan roots, and it's not serving him well. I don't think it will, you know, thoroughly diminish the good things about his legacy, but it doesn't help, especially in something as serious as this.
No, I just find it hard to take the guy seriously anymore. You know,
anybody who buys into the big lie or even just helps it along and does not call it out. Yeah. You've lost something in my estimation as well.
Yeah. Pat Kreitler, you can hear him every morning, 6 until 8, across Civic Media on Up North News Radio. I'm not going to see you again, so Merry Christmas, my friend. Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas to you, too. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Enjoy the time up there, Lake Wissota. We'll talk to you after the holidays. Pat Kreitler, every morning. Stay tuned. We'll update you on what's happening around the state after this on Civic Media. Thank you.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Recently, U.S. corn exports have been moving pretty slow, but that could be due to our own currency. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and John Heinberg, a market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, is here to explain how our dollar could be the reason we are seeing these low exports. And we'll have that story for you right after this.
The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Veltima fungicide is on your side to out-yield the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre, but you've never been average. Beat your own record, get every bushel you deserve, and make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Welcome back. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and now here's John Heinberg explaining why our dollar value could be hurting us in corn exports.
All of a sudden, because of where the U.S. dollar is, all of a sudden Brazil had some corn on the export market. Argentina corn became more affordable. Ukraine corn became more affordable. And to the point, last week's export sales totals were actually fairly disappointing for corn. So it's going to be one of those ones that just the global supply, the supply of the U.S. farmer, might be a bit of a wet blanket over any major rally here, just with the fact that if prices continue to rise, that demand that the USDA is still counting on could start slowing down, and then the adjustments might have to come back the other way. So that'll be something we'll need to watch going into the first quarter of 2025.
John Heinberg explaining the current corn export market. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and we'll take a look at those midday markets right after this.
At Golden Harvest, we know that to thrive in the wild north, you have to be built for it. Introducing the Hawk, the Grizzly, and the Wolf. Three corn hybrids bred for powerful performance. Like apex predators, Wild North hybrids are strong and fierce, ready to face the toughest agronomic threats and stand tall all season long. Enter the wild. Visit hybridsbuiltforthenorth.com.
Welcome back. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report. Now let's take a look at those midday markets. It's looking rather grim today as cash crop corn is down 3 at 440 and a half, and new crop corn is also down 3 at 435 and a half. Soybeans are seeing a collapse as January contracts are down 21 and 3 quarters at 955, and November is down 20 and a half at 968 and a quarter. March wheat contracts are up a quarter at 545 and a quarter, and July contracts are up 1 at 562 and a quarter. Class 3 milk contracts for January are down 11 cents at 2040 hundredweight, and February contracts are down 10 cents at 1995 hundredweight. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Mostly cloudy and breezy, with temperatures slowly sliding from the mid-20s to the teens tonight. With snow arriving early tomorrow morning, it could be heavy at times, and visibility will be reduced and roads will be slippery, as snow accumulations look to be anywhere from 4 to 8 inches. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 28 degrees.
Ho ho, the holidays are here, and it's time to pick a present from the grown-up gift list with Civic Media's statewide text to win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of the grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on the grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win in the statewide contest. Ho ho ho!
Mino and the Mayor.
I'm going to admit something that I normally would not admit. A lot of times I don't wear underwear.
We got to go to a break.
I don't have a cart, and I'm carrying this stuff.
Yeah.
I got my finger in the loop holding my pants up because they would literally go down. And twice people stopped me. Hey, John Mino, as I'm trying to hold my pants up and hold my stuff in my arms.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS. John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Thursday's show, we'll get some holiday magic with Gizmo and former UW Green Bay basketball coach Todd Kowalczyk.
Plus, our friend Pat Tracy gives us a final list of holiday events happening in Oshkosh. Join us.
Truth, wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 now past the hour of 12 noon on this Wednesday, hump day, December 18th, 2024. Many thanks to Pat Kreitlow for being on today. Trigvi Olsen is here in town. Just like Santa, he's making his list and checking it twice, finding out whether we're naughty or nice. Peering around the corners. Trigvi will be here in studio to help us out with our text to win adult night. No, what is it? Grown up gift list trivia. That's what it is.
Grown up gift list text to win contest.
Thank you very much. Anyway, lots of prizes to win, including next hour, $100 bill. Are you going to the strip clubs this Christmas? Take along $100 bill. No, that's not what it's for, you understand. Also a robot vacuum, a humidifier, an espresso machine, snow blower, and a set of luggage are the grand prizes that you could win just by entering. So we're going to give you that text to win word next hour. Download the Civic Media app right now, so you'll be all set next hour. I'll give you the word. It's simple, and you could win $100 next hour. Right now, I'm about to tell Trigvi will be here in hour two to help us do that. And also going to talk about hour two, this settlement that happened over the weekend. Haven't had a chance to really talk about it. ABC News and George Stephanopoulos agreed to a $15 million plus settlement with Donald Trump. What does this mean? And how could it affect things going forward? We'll discuss that with Trigvi Olsen in hour number two. Right now, talking about Tommy Thompson, former governor. I may have said Secretary of State. No, he was Secretary of Health and Human Services, or as he liked to say, Secretary. Jeff Perry, our ongoing contributor on Facebook, by the way, says, could I use the $100 to buy a three-way blender? Hey, to each their own. No judgment here.
You can use the $100 any way you'd like.
Absolutely. Yes, all right. Talking about Tommy Thompson, for the first time ever, he was an elector. And met in the Capitol this week and voted for Donald Trump and asked by reporters afterwards, what about these new charges by Attorney General Josh Call of Wisconsin against Trump supporters in their efforts to help subvert the 2020 election? And Tommy says, isn't it time we just turn the page? Turn the page. I think that's pretty serious, Governor. And again, in my opinion, as Pat Kreitlow said, things like Highway 29, things like the Lower Wisconsin Riverway Conservation Area, you can point to countless programs that Tommy Thompson helped get through the legislature and signed into law. And I just find it sad and tragic and unfortunate that a person, while flawed, did a lot of great things for Wisconsin while he was governor, and now is selling out to Donald Trump because he seems to have a lust for relevance politically and may want to make a couple of bucks as a lobbyist on K Street in D.C. in Trump 2.0. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Mark from Perdisac. Mark, thanks for hanging on, my friend. What say you?
Yeah, well, thanks, yeah, and Tommy Thompson did have his flaws. I'm aware of some of them, but, you know, you couldn't be in state service without hearing some of the stories that involved in that, and that we cannot get over the insurrection and the fake electors because it was all part of the same conspiracy, part and parcel together. But what I originally called in about is ice fishing, and there was an ice fishing we did up north, and some of the rivers that flowed into Lake Superior that in the January, Christmas time, mm-hmm. into January, rivers would freeze over, and you go far enough up, and then the Clearwater rivers, it'd be the freshwater cod lawyers would come out of Lake Superior, and you would suspend lights below the ice, have big holes cut in the ice, and you'd spear the lawyers as they came through. Mm-hmm. Now, they're kind of an ugly-looking fish, but they're pretty tasty because they're just a freshwater cod, and they are, you know, you can make poor man's lobster out of them. And fry them up, and they're, you know, quite tasty when it gets right down to it.
That's awesome.
But that's a pleasant memory. We had parties out there on the ice. You know, you'd get a fire going on the shore and pass around the, you know, adult beverages, right, and have a good friends and just have a good time in the wintertime.
Yeah, no, it's a great part of Wisconsin's traditions. It's a part of what makes Wisconsin great. And I was never, my family were never huge ice fishermen. We would go out once in a while, but now, I mean, it's just elaborate, right? And these ice shanties, guys, gals bring TVs out and it's heated, and the fishing is kind of secondary. But it's a great cultural moment, and it gets us out doing something rather than just sitting behind the old television and doing nothing in the winter. So yeah, Mark, I agree. It's a great part of Wisconsin. Thanks so much for calling in, Mark. Really appreciate it. 855-752-4842. Go up to WGBW, the great station up in Green Bay. That's where we find Dan listening. Dan, thanks for listening. What say you?
Hey, I agree with Thompson 100%. It's time to get over it because it's already been resolved. And to keep lingering on hanging on to something that you're mad about is kind of incredibly immature, first of all, and just ridiculous. I mean, yeah, we need to come together as a country. Okay. So yes, no. And I'm a Republican and I disagreed with what Trump did. Absolutely. Okay. Mm-hmm. But it's also ridiculous to keep on pushing a narrative 4+ years later. It's getting insane. Well, it's like you want to lose all the time.
But you're saying move on, but now president-elect, a month and a half ago, former president and candidate Trump was still talking about this. He was the one that was still talking about this a month and a half ago. He couldn't let it go. So is that immature on his part as well?
I would agree with that too.
All right.
What if
the Democrats had met in a room at the Capitol this week and cast their own ballots for Kamala Harris and had given them to Tammy Baldwin, and she carried them with her to Washington and presented it to Vice President Harris on January 6th to vote for her? Would you have a problem with that?
Well, again, that would be a ridiculous scenario as well. And like I already said, what Trump did was wrong. So yeah,
I just think that
and that's why we need to move on.
I just think that people have to be held accountable for their actions, particularly when it was an attempt to steal, just like the scenario that I put forward that did not happen, by the way. No Democrat met, fake electors. But I would be outraged if Democrats tried to do something like that because Donald Trump won Wisconsin fair and square. The same thing was true in 2020. Yeah. That Joe Biden won Wisconsin fair and square. And so when someone tries to steal a vote, that's literally why I left the Republican Party, because they were passing legislation to suppress a person's constitutional right to vote. I just think that's a bridge too far, and people should be held accountable.
Oh, okay, but you have no reasonable legal case in that at all.
About what?
If you did, the DOJ would have already brought it. But you don't have a case.
Oh, I don't. I'm not a prosecutor. But it has been found in court, and that's why some of these court cases are now being dismissed because of the new election. But in fact, there was proof in court that this happened. That Trump's people tried to steal the election. I mean, that's literally been found true in court.
No, you're missing my point. You have no legal case against Trump here. You have zero. You have nothing.
Because he's now the incoming president. I mean, shouldn't people who tried to subvert an election other than Donald Trump be held liable for that?
I'm fine with that.
Okay, well that's what that was about. That's what this case is about.
Right, it's not against Trump.
Tommy's saying we should move on and not hold people accountable who tried to help steal an election. Not Donald Trump, but other people.
That's not what I was saying. the fact that you keep pushing a case against Trump is ridiculous because you have no case.
Well, I'm not the prosecutor.
That's
again.
All I'm saying.
The lawyers and this DOJ. Anyway, thank you. I appreciate the call, Dan. Thank you so very much. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Bob in Waukesha, listening on WAUK. Bob, thanks for calling in. What say you?
Well, your last caller, I wasn't going to talk about that, but, you know, with him, right is wrong and wrong is right. He's just like Trump and all the MAGAs. My thing about Tommy Thompson, I have voted once in my life for a Republican, and that was for Thompson. And at one time, he was a good Republican. He had compassion, which most Republicans lack.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that you worked for, Schultz, he was a really good Republican, too.
Yeah.
But with Tommy Thompson, when he took over Health and Human Services, the only thing he didn't do was get Medicare, like the VA, to negotiate drug prices.
Mm-hmm.
Now, everything Joe Biden has done, Tommy's just, you know, the guest that you had on, he nailed it. Tommy Thompson right now is trying to remain relevant.
Mm-hmm.
His day is past and gone. And I think he's getting a little senile. And if he can't see the evil in the Trumpkins, the MAGAs, then he is losing it.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy you just talked to, he's another one. If the Democrats would have done it, he'd be burning your phone lines complaining about it.
Yeah, I was trying.
The Republicans are the Democrats of election fraud. Who's the one that committed? It's the Republican.
Bob, thanks so much. Appreciate the call. WAUK in Waukesha. Off the text line, Robert from Richland Center, listening on WRCE, says, look at today's news reports indicating that the House GOP recommends prosecuting Liz Cheney for involvement in the January 6th investigation. The Republicans don't seem to be moving on, unquote. Robert, could not agree with you more. We haven't even gotten to wait until Trigvy gets here in hour number two. But yes, House Republicans now want to go after the former third-ranking Republican in the House, Liz Cheney, simply for sussing out the truth and her involvement with the bipartisan January 6th committee. 855-752-4842. Let's go up to WCFW, the TAP in beautiful Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Gene in Eau Claire. Thanks for calling, Gene. What say you?
Hi. Have a wonderful Christmas and Happy New Year to all of you guys. You're doing an outstanding job.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you, Gene. Go ahead.
Well, thank you. I think my brain is exploding after that two guys ago had what he had to say. Hey, I was waiting that day when the fake electors I watch every year. I didn't watch this year because I can't stand it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always watched, you know, when the electors get together and they vote, you know, in Wisconsin. And that year, I was waiting patiently, you know, when Biden won, mm-hmm. you know, to see what's going on. There was a delay, and I called up and finally got a hold of somebody, and they didn't know what was going on. There was a delay before it was on the air because you can watch live.
Right.
And sure enough, the fake electors were meeting. And then I read about the fake electors later in this clandestine mode where everybody had to hide and everybody had to be quiet. And they even had people that were like Secret Service or, you know, not Secret Service, but you know what I mean? They had private individuals to protect them and be around them as they went in to do their clandestine, fraudulent act, criminal act. And then all the money we spent on tax dollars that could have went to the schools and all of our taxes maybe not be raised, folks, is then we had to have this great investigation by a guy who didn't even know how elections were run.
Right.
Come on, folks. You've been bamboozled just like Foxconn. Wake up. Start watching those people. Watch them live. It's an eye-opening experience.
Thanks,
and you guys have a great Christmas, and thank you for covering this subject. Have a good day. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Gene. Appreciate you, all of our listeners. And, absolutely. Thanks for listening and calling in. Off the text line as well, Liz, listening on WMDX here in Madison in Sun Prairie, says, the basis of freedom is our vote. My vote was attempted to be taken away. Would that caller appreciate if he were robbed, knew who did it, but no one would do anything about it? How would he feel if people told him to just, quote unquote, move on? Also, not all the evidence from January 6th has been released. Liz, listening in Sun Prairie. Yeah, I mean, voting is a fundamental right. Has to be protected. And if people, if there's evidence to suss out and it's clear that they tried to take that right away, they should be held accountable. Sorry, Governor Thompson. Cannot just move on from that. We'll move on after this. Don't go anywhere. It's the Tyler Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
97.9 WGBW and WGBW.FM.
Oh, hello, Michael. Santa here. I need special gift ideas for my list this year. Any suggestions?
Hey, Santa, how about a Simple Life Hospitality gift certificate? It's the perfect present. Flexible, thoughtful, and truly unique.
Now, there's something different.
Our gift certificates are perfect for birthdays, holidays, or just because, with multiple amounts to fit any budget. Share the joy of this season. Give a Simple Life Hospitality gift certificate. Visit SimpleLifeRentals.com.
Oh, thank you, Michael.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In official meeting rooms around the country, 538 electors for the 2024 presidential election met December 17th to cast their vote on behalf of their state's results. 13 of those Electoral College electors are accused 2020 fake electors, some of whom still face prosecution. Trump campaign associates coordinated a plot in 7 battleground states to submit a fraudulent slate of Republican electors. The plot failed when Vice President Mike Pence refused to participate and certified the results. The alleged fake electors in Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Nevada, New Mexico, Georgia, and Arizona were investigated by state officials, the January 6th committee, and the special counsel. Fake electors in Michigan, Georgia, and Arizona still face trial. Nevada prosecutors just refiled charges December 12th. No charges were brought in New Mexico, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. 13 of those electors were renominated by their state Republican parties as electors in 2024. 6 of the 15 awaiting trial for forgery in Michigan were renominated. 6 Nevada electors were reindicted last week on forgery charges, 2 of whom were renominated. Still unclear is whether Trump will include the fake electors in his promised pardons for those accused and convicted for the January 6th insurrection. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
From Denmark to De Pere, this is 97.9 WGBW.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tyler Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 9 before the hour of 1 o'clock. At the top of the hour, a CBS and ABC News update for you, depending upon the station. A sports update with our great sports reporter, Mike Clemens. And our weather team will update you on the situation across Wisconsin. Some winter storm warnings in effect into tomorrow for parts of the state, including our listeners at WGBW in Green Bay and parts of the Fox Valley for WISS in Oshkosh. Several inches of snow could be on the way for most of Wisconsin. First big snowfall of the season for most of us. So gird your loins or something like that. Why would you need to gird your loins for snow? I'm not sure, but that's
what I was asking.
All right. I want to get more. Maybe we'll get into this. Lots to get to at Trigvy. Trigvy Olson's going to be here in hour number 2. And also, we're going to give you a chance to win a $100 bill. $100 next hour in our grown-up gift list text to win contest. Also going to be eligible for 8 grand prizes. Going to be given away at the end of this week randomly by computer choice. A robot vacuum, a humidifier, espresso machines, snow blower, and luggage. All that and more. So stay. Download the Civic Media app right now, and then we'll tell you the magic word next hour, and you can enter in. Somebody next hour wins $100. It might as well be you. All right. Great reporting by WORT, WORT Radio, 98.9. A community radio station here in Madison, a legacy station in Madison. Great community reporting. The reporter on this, Sarah Gabler, of WRORT News Department. Headline, UW System spends millions on consultants. $51 million. That's how much money the University of Wisconsin System paid Chicago-based Huron Consulting Group between 2019 and 2023. Neil Krause says that number is quote-unquote astronomical. Krause is a professor of political science at UW River Falls and president of United Falcons, the campus branch of AFT Wisconsin. He tracks the University of Wisconsin's budget cuts, technology spending, and austerity measures. Now, again, we're limited on time here, so we're not going to go into the whole story right now. Might talk about it with Trigvier. We'll do it on another show, maybe tomorrow. But I want to read you a couple of sentences here from this reporting at WORT. Quote, from the records we were given, we learned that the University of Wisconsin System holds several multi-year contracts with Huron Consulting that total over $51 million. That includes a contract for the rollout of a new statewide workforce technology program called Workday that cost over $47 million. Another contract shows that Huron designed and facilitated a workshop for institutional realignment. So these consultants put together a workshop, i.e. a meeting and a PowerPoint, called Institutional Realignment at UW Oshkosh in August of last year, just months before the layoffs. That workshop cost $24,000. UW System spent $24,000 of our tax money to hold a workshop on how they were going to take people's jobs away and close down 2-year campuses.
And they sure did.
The $51 million spent by the UW System between 2019 and 2023 on contracts with Huron is almost 3 times as much as the $18 million budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. You understand this? The consulting fees paid for by our tax dollars that UW System spent was 3 times more than the budget shortfall that closed the campuses the 2 years at the Oshkosh campus. More reporting from WORT, consultants were paid $275 to $310 per hour. The UW System redacted these hourly rates from the documents they sent us. Oh, I bet they did. Krause, who teaches at UW River Falls, is concerned that the UW System is ceding control to corporate interests. Great reporting by WORT. Isn't anybody a block away from me right now at the state capitol paying any attention? And I don't mean just Republicans. I mean anybody.
Hey, Tony Evers said that they're doing the best
right,
they can.
Right. Tony Evers, when it comes to the UW System, Tony Evers is the George W. Bush of Wisconsin. Remember when Hurricane Katrina hit in Louisiana and the FEMA secretary went down there, Brown? And George W. Bush said, you're doing a hell of a job, Brownie. That's essentially what Tony Evers said to Jay Rothman. Well, you know, he's doing the best that he can. Gee willikers, I'm all jazzed up. Doing the best that he can? I do not understand why Democrats are not making political hay on this. And not just political hay, actually getting something done. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Because they seem to be complicit with the idiot Republicans, not voters, but the legislators who continue to cut the budget of the UW System and want to see these schools close. $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants to tell people how to make it better. Ask people at Richland Center. Ask people at Waukesha. Ask people in Washington County if they got their $51 million worth in consulting fees for the UW System. Back with Hour 2 after this. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. $100 on the line. You could win it. And Trigvier Olson, don't go anywhere. It's the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Kevin Solomon from Common Ground will be joining us to talk about what is going on with the Milwaukee Housing Authority. Brittany Merlot with Weather and Wine, Sports with J.R. Radcliffe. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Mino and the Mayor.
You ever really want to get back at me?
Well, you're claustrophobic. That would really...
Oh, God.
Oh, that would be tough for
oh,
you.
Oh, the wow. worst.
You would talk like that.
Like get this. Absolutely. Get this.
Put him in a drum and throw him in the water. He's claustrophobic and he can't swim.
Yeah.
I think we can get anything we wanted out of you.
Anything.
All right, Todd, mental note.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The House Ethics Committee making a reversal, voting to release the report on former Congressman Matt Gaetz. He resigned when President-elect Trump nominated him to be Attorney General and later withdrew his nomination over allegations of misconduct stemming from the House Ethics investigation. ABC's Jay O'Brien has more.
But what the House Ethics Committee, according to sources, has done here at a meeting earlier this month was to vote to release this report. And that would have required Republicans crossing over party lines.
The CIA director is in Qatar to participate in the latest rounds of Gaza ceasefire talks between Israel and Hamas. Israel's prime minister, meantime, says Israeli forces will maintain control of the Golan Heights to the north following the fall of the Assad regime. Japanese automakers Nissan and Honda today denied reports they're exploring a merger, but say they're discussing a closer collaboration. And the Federal Reserve Board, wrapping up its policy meeting, could announce another interest rate cut later today. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
I'm Lisa.